party sat down in their first working session. During the introductory statements, she expressed her desire for keeping the marital home as one of her goals. To this, he issued his most expensive cough ever and muttered, "Of course you do." She immediately closed her notebook and the mediation was over before I could intervene. She walked out and they spent $15,000 each on the events that followed. Today, I'm going to help you avoid this same costly mistake and many others that sneak up on pro se couples who come into mediation unprepared. Welcome to the Pro Se Divorce Podcast, where you can learn how to turn mediocre mediations into major successes. My name is Tom Davis, and I'm a certified professional divorce mediator in Denver, Colorado. I've helped thousands of clients over the past two decades reach success rates and outcomes that are significantly higher than what is typical. In each episode, I will share valuable insights, practical skills, and tools you can utilize right away to improve your mediation outcomes. And I'll serve as your guide through the potentially confusing process of divorce. Better days are coming, starting now. There is such a tremendous bounty of benefits produced by mediations, and they can be so easily dismissed by what we think are involuntary reactions. This episode is for people who really want the promise of mediation, but are heading into the process already aware of a few points of friction or irritation that could arise. By the time you've gotten to mediation, you both already are aware of each other's desires and positions and whether or not you're going to be agreeable to them initially or not. You are also both very aware of what frustrations or wounds each of you might have. And so when they surface in the mediation, it can be unbearable to simply just take it. The brain is in survival mode and reactions are prone to be autonomic. So what can be done? The truth behind this is that if you wait until it comes up in the mediation to think about it, it's too late. With some pre-mediation planning, however, you can have a plan that keeps you both out of trouble and keeps the mediation alive so you can access its benefits. First, it's important to acknowledge a few limitations and facts so you have proper expectations. One, you can't control your emotions. You will feel what you're going to feel, so expecting that you can control your emotions isn't really honest. You can suppress emotions, but up to a point, and then they will come out with some velocity. You can attempt to conceal what you're feeling, but this doesn't usually work. So just accept that you're going to feel things, and that's part of being human, and it's okay. Two, while you can't control your emotions, you can control how you respond to them. Now, this takes practice, so don't think you can perform this by improvisation at the time. Even if you're accomplished with this type of behavior in your professional life, it is much different when you are not detached from the topic and we're discussing your children, your money, your future. You bet differently when you play with your own money. Don't underestimate the challenge here. Three, the mediation process to achieve a beneficial outcome is only possible when you both voluntarily come to the agreement. It's a mistake to characterize the other person as your opponent or the enemy. While you may not be on the same page, getting on the same page is the only way you're going to see the benefits of mediation. So see the other person as someone who believes what they believe because of their experiences and knowledge, and that is all they can believe. And it's the same with you. Through discussion, we're going to find that common ground that the two of you can claim. Recognize what system you're in. Don't count on your internal system to define what is fair. The courts and the legal process are not renowned for their ability to come up with fair outcomes. As a last resort, when people need a conflict resolved, it's crucial to have that higher authority to solve the matter, but don't be misled that the priority there is solving for what you believe is fair. The priority is to settle the matter consistent with the laws by taking the shortest path there. Within that, the court will use its own judgment as to what is fair, not yours. If you want the fairest outcome, then you need to take on a serious appreciation of the mediation process and not quickly abandon or dismiss it because you think there is a better, cheaper, and more fair process waiting for you. Next, use the rules of the system you are in. If you are litigating, the rules that govern the processes there are much different than the rules in mediation. In mediation, the rules that govern the success rely on mutual and voluntary agreement between the parties. Pissing each other off is going to violate the rules of the system, and you aren't going to emerge with the best settlement if you emerge at all. Know what will help you and hurt you, and limit yourself to only what will help you to get the most out of the mediation. Use your therapist to process your emotions and your mediator to process your negotiations. Use the right systems to address the issues. Next, you can't do it alone. Utilize your mediator as much as you can to help you be successful. Use your friends and family for emotional support. Use your attorney for legal support if needed. Use your therapist to help you manage yourself in a healthy way. You are not alone, and to not use these resources available to assist you where you need it is just a wasted opportunity. Okay, so with so much at stake, you really don't want to just wing it, and you should prepare yourself to get the most out of this process, this possibly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If you have known emotional or negotiated related triggers that have triggered you in the past or you believe could trigger you, then you need to do some preparation. The best way to do this as a pro se party is to get with your mediator for a private pre-mediation caucus or coaching session and address these potential dangers together. You can come up with a plan that will help you. So, how can the mediator help you prepare? Here are some possibilities that have proven valuable in the past. The mediator may suggest using shuttle mediation, where you both are in separate rooms, whether in person or in virtual mediation, and the mediator shuttles back and forth between you carrying the negotiation. This way you can avoid the potential triggers and your responses that could derail the effort. The shuttle process may only be necessary while working through a particular topic, let's say spousal maintenance, while the rest of the mediation can be conducted together. This can protect you from the volatile portion of the negotiation while capturing the value of working together for the portions that are not so provocative. The mediator may assist you with some training or coaching that will help you during a joint mediation session. For example, if you're dealing with a narcissist, the mediator can help you with how to avoid the traps and redirect for positive courses. There are some teachable skills, phrases, and mindsets here that you can apply during your negotiations. The mediator could also assist or coach you on how to make effective proposals to the other party when you get an unreasonable triggering offer, so you get the most out of your proposals when you make them. By simply learning how to present a proposal or offer in the most effective way, it can dramatically improve your success rate in mediation. For example, by embedding elements into your proposal that directly address the other party's concerns or objectives, they'll be more receptive. They certainly will be more receptive than if you only worry about your concerns and objectives, leaving them to fend for themselves. That will inspire similar behavior in them. And this kind of coaching improves your ability to connect with the other person to find that common ground. So primarily, you're going to be triggered by one of two types of threats, usually: emotional threats and negotiation or settlement threats. Emotional threats are usually loaded with judgment or blame, come from some previous wound or something like that, or frustrations that have been unresolved. And when there are negotiation threats, they are most likely going to be presented as unreasonable proposals or demands that don't really consider your position. And quite commonly, the two can be entangled into something more complicated, like, because you're a cheater, so emotional trigger, I'm keeping the house, negotiation trigger. By planning for these threats, you can avoid being provoked by them or being beaten down into capitulating to them. It's also responsible to acknowledge that whether it is intentional of the other party or not, usually triggering statements are designed to provoke and unbalance you. This may be how they have tried to manipulate you in the past, so why wouldn't they try it here? So some may attempt to trigger you to get you to blow up and give in to their demands, or blow up and escalate the conflict, which, believe it or not, is exactly what some people want. Don't take the bait. Don't let the other party manipulate you by triggering you into doing what they want. Stay on course in the mediation. These are just stormy waves, and you determine if they're going to capsize you or not. Through proper pre-mediation caucus and coaching, you can learn how to best respond to emotional triggers and negotiation triggers when they come. There are proven strategies and coaching advice that you can leverage so you can stay in the mediation and then get that fair outcome. Whether you take the opportunity to engage in pre-mediation coaching or you don't, and you find yourself triggered in the mediation, here are some panic button phrases that you can have handy to employ instantly before you allow your emotional reaction to make its appearance. You can say, I would like to take a moment to process that before I respond. This is a short moment, you know, a minute maybe, maybe less. This notifies everyone that you are assessing how to respond, showing you care about the process and the other person potentially, and to give you just a moment to unplug a bit so you can come back with something more productive than your autonomic emotional response. You can also use the phrase, I need to take a short break now, and then I think I can continue. This inserts a longer break into the conversation, let's say 1 to 5 minutes, maybe longer, where you get up and actually take a walk away from the session. This can be helpful to hide obvious body language or facial expressions that convey your true emotional state and could undermine your negotiation. By physically removing yourself from the conversation and doing breathing exercises and thinking about selecting intentional choices that are more productive, you can return and respond in the way that you control that keeps the negotiation going and not throwing a hand grenade into the session. You can also say, I believe I'm done for the day. That's fair. And I mean, really, whenever you hit this point, if it's 10 minutes in and you're at that point, call it. Because if we push past it, it may not get that much better. And there are things we can do, but it's important to acknowledge when you've hit your limit. And what you want to communicate here is that I'm just done for the day. I am committed to our mediation, but I think I've reached a place that is unproductive for now. And if you say that, this is what is needed when you have become triggered to the point where you're not going to recover and you just think it's going to be unproductive to continue. And by indicating you are committed to the mediation, you signal to the other person that you need a temporary break from the mediation so it's not interpreted by them as a permanent break. You can also just ask the mediator, can I speak with you privately for a moment? This is useful to get some instant coaching or support from the mediator or to assess what is the next best step given how you feel. Together, you may decide you're done for the day or that the mediation can take a 15-minute break and then attempt to re-engage. Or it may be evident that the parties need to transition to shuttle mediation immediately or on the next session in order to continue. If you have received some training or coaching from the mediator, pre-mediation, then you can take a breath and attempt a validating statement or utilize the questioning strategies that you've discussed to uncover more information. You know how important it is to get a success out of this mediation and what is at stake. You already know you have to avoid negative reactions. Your emotions are valid, and it is true and normal that you can't avoid feeling things. You hopefully acknowledge that you should not wing it in the mediation, and by preparing, you can avoid getting capsized. You also know that there are teachable and usable techniques that you can learn in pre-mediation coaching that are available. And lastly, you know some of the phrases to use in a panic button situation if you get triggered or caught off guard during the mediation. So, then our next episode, we are going to learn how to address a behavior that can ruin a negotiation and how to avoid it. One of the biggest offenders that create foundational and systemic miscommunications is interrupting. We will analyze exactly what this seemingly uncontrollable behavior does to communication, why it has established itself in your communication, the problems it creates, and most importantly, what to do to convert the urge to interrupt into one of your most valuable negotiation skills, something you'll start using in your everyday life once you see its power. This has been Tom Davis. Thank you for joining me today. Remember to protect every accomplishment you make together and that setbacks are just wins in the making. Stay positive. The Pro Se Divorce Podcast is a production of Family Synergy Mediation. The information in these podcasts are opinions only and should not be considered legal advice. Visit myfamilymediation.com to learn more.